morning, 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm taking a break from our regular study through our books that we're studying through together. We're studying through the book of John in the New Testament, the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. Our topical series right now are Satan's strongholds, the strongholds that we're trying to keep from taking a stronghold on our life. But today the Lord has led me to a passage that, the good Lord willing, will take all day today to get through it. And no doubt the Lord has laid this on my heart for the week that our church has had. Many of you are aware of this, some of you are maybe not aware of this, that associated with our church in some way or another, in the matter of about 7 days or so, we had 6 deaths. One of them was the grandmother of Brother Scott Foster, and one of them was the niece of Brother Tom Cole. Another one was the mother of Brother John Green, who's here right here. And then the 3 that were bedrock, foundational, solid church members of this local assembly. These other 3 were not members here, but their family members are with us, and we certainly want them to know that we're praying for them and love them and are here for them. But these other 3, Miss Edith Lawson, funeral last night, burial today at 2:30 down here at Gray. Brother Ted Cole, funeral Thursday night, burial on Friday morning. Miss Betty Cash, funeral and burial all on Wednesday. Faithful, faithful, faithful church members who will be missed tremendously. We're weary this morning, mentally, and some physically. The Lord has been good this week. The Lord has given grace. The Lord has given mercy. And as your pastor, I felt the Lord just laying on my heart a message during this time when we've had so many deaths. And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. We're just going to preach on verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And I want to preach to you this morning, and God willing tonight as well, on those 2 words, the last words of the verse, our hope. Our hope. No doubt in my mind that this is the message God wants me to preach to this church today. And may the Lord preach it through me. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you this morning, and we pray as we study these 2 words, I pray that you will challenge our hearts. I pray that you will help us to go forward. And may our hearts be comforted today. And if we are among those that truly come under the word our, may we be comforted with these words. But if somebody is not a child of God, I pray that you will draw them to yourself. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. This book is one of the 3 books that makes up what's called the pastoral epistles. Those 3 books are made up of 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus. In all 3 of these books, Paul is addressing 2 of his converts who are now preachers. They're now pastors over separate churches. Timothy, who he's speaking to in this verse, is pastor at Ephesus, and Titus is pastor at Crete. And while these books are written to assist pastors in their duties, along with the order that's to be found in the church, there are truths found in all of these books that every Christian needs to know in all the ages. But as you come to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and just this first verse here, there are things that we could get bogged down with. For instance, we could dwell just in this verse how the Bible says that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. That means he was a sent one of God. That means he was called of God to do this duty. He wasn't usurping his authority, but he was simply doing the will of God for his life. You know, I could get bogged down in that if I allowed myself. Or we could get bogged down in the second statement here, that God is our Savior. Friends, we don't save ourselves. The church doesn't save us. Only God can save us. God is our Savior. I could get bogged down in that. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3, God our Savior. 1 Timothy 4, 10, we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. Jude, verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior. 2 Timothy 1, 10, our Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 1, God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a stench in Almighty God's nostrils for man to think that man can save themselves. Man cannot save themselves. Only God can save man. And we could get bogged down with that. We could get bogged down with the, I don't know if the word bogged down is right or not, but we could nail ourselves down and preach a while on the thought that Jesus Christ is our Lord here. It calls him the Lord Jesus Christ. That means he has full control. He's supreme. And he is on the throne. We could all get a little happy right there, no doubt about it. And while we could devote whole messages just on those separate statements, the Lord has laid another message on my heart. I felt the Lord leading to the last words of verse number one, our hope. You know, everywhere we turn, there's doubt. And everywhere we turn, there's despair. As one looks around the world, it seems as if there's no hope. There are marriages today that seem to have no hope. There are lives today that seem to have no hope. And however, let me say loud and clear that for a child of God, there is hope. For a child of God, there are no hopeless situations. Only those who grow hopeless about them. Do you understand what I just said? There are no hopeless situations, only those who grow hopeless about their situation. Hope here means to anticipate with pleasure. It means to anticipate with expectation. It means to anticipate with confidence. Now I want to dig in and consider our hope. What is our hope? Hope is something that we look forward to. Hope is basically the Christian's attitude towards the future. Hope believes what God has promised yet to do. See, faith believes what God has done. Faith believes that Jesus died. Faith believes that Jesus was buried and rose again. But hope believes that there is a heaven. And hope believes that he's coming back again. And hope believes that one day we're going to be with our saved loved ones for all eternity. That's hope. And may I say to you that God is worthy of being trusted. And hope is trusting God for the future. Hope is expecting that what God said will happen. Hope is anticipating that what God said will take place. And hope believes that God is going to do what he said he will do. Rejoice, for we who are God's children have hope. No matter what you're going through, and what I'm talking about collectively, a church body that had three people, I'm talking about church members that were taking from us. Hey, the Word of God says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. What happened to these six dear people who went out to meet God? And all six, I've been told, knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because of that, their death were precious in the sight of the Lord. They're absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. But sometimes on planet Earth, it leaves a void. It leaves an emptiness. And all I'm trying to say to you as your pastor today, as a church body, this applies to any kind of problem you have, any kind of trial you have. Some of you may not have a death going on, but you may have marital problems or financial problems or a physical problem. Whatever you can apply it to, whatever you want to apply it to, but I'm applying it to our church body, because of all the deaths that took place this week. Whatever you're going through, for a child of God, there is hope. There is hope. Something to look forward to. Something that we can allow to use and help us through these times. May I remind you that this hope that we're talking about this morning And tonight, God willing, this hope is not for unsaved people. Because the Word of God clearly says, which is our hope. And the our here are God's people. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says this, that at that time you were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. That verse says that when you were without Christ, when you did not know Christ as your Savior, you had no hope. You had nothing to look forward to. You had nothing to anticipate with pleasure. You had nothing to expect with a smile. You had nothing to look forward to with confidence. See, those without Christ have nothing to look forward to because they're on the way to a devil's hell. And that for sure is nothing to look forward to with pleasure or confidence or expectation. The Bible says in Job 11 verse 20, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. This hope is for those who have Christ in their heart. Notice the word our in our text. It's for God's children. If this is you, you have hope. But let me stop here before I get into this hope to describe what it is, what he's talking about, what kind of a hope is it. Let me stop right here because we're emphasizing who has this hope, and only those who know the Lord has this hope. No doubt an overwhelming majority, maybe everybody here today, know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you do, and there's been a time where you've asked the Lord to come into your heart, forgive your sin, and by faith you turn to Christ and ask Him to change your heart and life and forgive you and take you to heaven, I'm simply preaching all day long today that death is not the end, that there is hope beyond the grave. But if you're not saved, you don't know the Lord, this hope is not for you. But it can be before you leave. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:16, Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Romans 5:1-2 puts it this way, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Proverbs 14:32, the righteous hath hope in his death. To the child of God listening right now, who may be hurting, there is hope. To the child of God listening now, whose marriage may be struggling, there is hope. To a child of God who may be listening right now, who may be sick, there is hope. To a child of God listening right now who lost a saved loved one, and many of you did this week, there is hope. To a child of God whose life is turned upside down, there is hope. I'm simply preaching to you today, for the child of God, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. This morning I want to give you one major thought and several thoughts under it. Tonight I'll give you the second major thought, several points under it. First of all, as we think about our hope, the hour is God's children. God's children's hope. In other words, the hope of God's children. First of all, let's notice the description of it. Throughout the pages of God's Word, we see this hope that the Word of God teaches about here. We see it described. And as we look at the description of this hope that the Word of God is teaching us that God's children has, it could cause all of God's children to say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let me give you a description of this hope today. And ask God to speak to your heart. If you're a child of God, this is the hope you have. Hey, let me put it this way. This is the hope a child of God has, whether he knows it or not. You understand what I mean by that? You have this hope, whether you believe it or whether you don't. If you're saved, this is the hope you have. Let's describe this hope together this morning. First of all, it is a living hope. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, get this, unto a lively hope, a lively hope. You know what it means? It means it's alive. By the way, I'm going to a major thought. All of this will make sense when I get to the end. Stay with me here. It's a living hope. It's alive. It's not dead. This hope that a child of God has is not cold. It's not dead. It's not inoperative. It's like the hope that the disciples at the on the road of Emmaus discovered. In other words, they thought the Lord was dead. They had seen him die. He was buried. And when they were walking on the road to Emmaus, they were downtrodden. They were distraught. They were depressed. But then their hope was restored when the Lord himself drew near. And when they realized what they thought was dead, he who they thought was dead is alive and doing just fine. Our hope is alive, and it produces life. May I say this to you? Because Jesus got up, so did hope. Amen. Because the Lord Jesus did not stay dead, because the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, when Jesus got up, so did hope get up. Because he's alive, heaven is a real place. And because he lives, the death where we walk by is not the end for the child of God. What a hope we have. It's a living hope. Number two, it's a sure and steadfast hope. The Bible says this in Hebrews 6:19. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Now, what does an anchor do to a ship? An anchor to a ship secures that ship right where it's at in the midst of a storm. May I say this to you? The Word of God says that the hope that we have as God's children, the hope that what God says is in the future is in the future, the hope that there is a city whose builder and maker is God. The hope that there is a place that has a street of transparent gold. The hope that there is a place where the saints of old are living and dwelling. The hope that there is a place where there be no more death and no more sorrow and no more pain and no more tears. The hope of seeing God face to face. The hope of what he said is out there. The hope that's beyond the grave, beyond time. That's hope. That's what God says is there. And that hope is an anchor for the soul. What's that mean? That means that no matter what life is blowing up against you, no matter what storms brew in this life, no matter what is beating up against your ship, the hope that what God said is in the future is in the future is a sure and a steadfast anchor that you just let it down, and when it makes contact, it holds you in place. And you will not sway back and forth. You're firmly grounded. Why? Because of the hope that God has given to his children. It's a sure hope. That means it will not fail. It is a steadfast hope. That means it's constantly abiding. What an anchor we have for our soul. What an anchor. In the midst of a storm, and many of you, you have a storm blowing in your life. Many of you have the raging waves beating up against you. Many of you have lost a loved one that meant more to you than life itself. And I'm telling you that what will carry you through is not doing the best you can. But what will carry you through is taking the anchor of your soul, which is your hope, and letting it loose. And let the anchor of hope settle you firmly, that you know there's a better day coming. Because God said there is. Hope believes that. It is a living hope. I'm going to a main thought. Stay with me now. It's a sure and steadfast hope. Number three, the Bible calls it a gladdening hope, a gladdening hope. It makes you glad. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. And may I remind you that hope in the Bible is not, I hope this is going to happen. That's not the hope. That's the way we use it. Well, I sure hope so. I sure hope I'm going to get there. That's not Bible hope. Bible hope is an assurity. It is a truth that's not yet happened. It's been said it's there, but you've not seen it yet. You with me? God says it's real, but you've not seen it. It's a Bible hope. It's something that we know God said. He said it's there. This is how it's going to be. And hope anticipates that. It expects that. It believes that. It looks forward to that. And may I say this to you? When you start losing people in this world, I'm talking about their physical bodies, and you put their physical body in the ground, their spirit and soul is taking its flight to be with Jesus. May I say this to you? Your heart breaks. A lot of times water comes out your eyes, and you feel so broken. But yet the Word of God says, the hope of the righteous shall bring gladness. I'm getting blessed right there. Been a lot of tears shed this week. Been a lot of people who've gone on to the other side. Bedrock people. Solid people. And our heart hurts. Thank God. We know, because God said it, that they are with the Lord. And we know, because God said it, that there's no more pain, there's no more suffering, there's no more tears, there's no more devil that they have to deal with. And we know that even though they will not come to us, we know God said that we will go to them. And in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of tears, in the midst of your heart breaking, God said, the hope of the righteous will bring you gladness. And I'm telling you, I'm not glad that these folks are gone, but I am glad for the hope I have in Jesus. It's a gladdening hope. It's a hope that in the midst of all of the heartbreak, somehow, some way, when you start thinking about the other side, your heart that's breaking has a little bit of a whoop to it. A little bit of somebody, it's almost like somebody saying, amen. Glory to God. Why? Because it's a gladdening hope. It's a living hope. It's a sure and steadfast hope. Doesn't stop there. Number four, the Bible calls it a blessed hope. Oh, I like that. The Bible says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what the word blessed here is? Looking for that blessed hope, that blessed hope. You know what that word blessed literally means? It means supremely blessed. It means fortunate. It means happy. And it means well off. By the way, it says we're looking for that blessed hope. We're looking beyond. For that hope that is fortunate, that hope that is happy, that hope that is well off, that hope that is supremely blessed. Hey, may I say this to you? If the Lord tarries His coming and He does not come back to this earth, thank God that we're going to heaven, but we don't have much to look forward to when we look toward death, do we? Anybody looking forward to dying? I'm not. I'm not looking forward to it. But I know this. The Bible says the blessed hope beyond the grave, that hope beyond the grave is a happy thing. That hope beyond the grave is a well-off thing. That hope beyond the grave is a fortunate thing. Hey, it is a supremely blessed thing in the future of God's children. No doubt it's a blessed because it brings eternal life. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, in hope of that, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 3, verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Romans 8, 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? See, God knows. God knows how we are. It's hard to hope for something you've never seen. It's hard to believe something that you've never seen. And yet God said this, we're saved by hope. But hope that's seen is not hope at all. Because if you've seen it, why are you hoping for it? Hey, I've never seen heaven, but I know it exists. My saved loved ones, my great-granddaddy who taught Sunday school here, my great-grandmother, Mama Locke, my granddaddy, Ralph, my other papaw, Bill, all of them professing Christians. All of them. And I've never seen them beyond this grave. But I know they're there. Because the hope I have is a living hope inside of me. The hope I have is a sure and steadfast hope that in the waves and winds of this life, it keeps me settled, keeps me firm. That doesn't mean I don't struggle, but it means it's not going to take me under. Amen. Hey, it's a gladdening hope. Hey, you lose somebody like that, you have your good days and bad days, don't you? These precious families who've lost a loved one, Miss Edith Lawson, be buried just this afternoon. These dear folks, are you listening to me? There's good days and bad days. There's days where they're okay, and there's days when they feel like they don't even want to get out of bed. But even in the times when you don't feel like even getting out of the bed, the Holy Spirit of God will whisper to your heart, everything's okay. I know it hurts, but it's not always going to be this way. There's a great hope in your future. See them on the street of gold, beyond this veil of tears. Doesn't stop there. We're just about done. Two more. Can you handle two more? Hey, it's a living hope. It's a sure and steadfast hope. It'll solidify you to where you don't go under. It's a gladdening hope. In the midst of the sorrow, every now and then, you'll have a little smile. Because you know there's a great day coming. It's a blessed hope. It's supremely blessed. Number five, it's a good hope. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:16, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. You know what God did for you and He saved you? He gave you good hope. May I say this to you, the longer I preach, I'm not talking about time-wise, I'm talking about years and months, okay? Yeah, I know you're thinking about time-wise, just forget it. The longer I preach and the more I'm in the ministry, the more I realize how little we really know everything God did for us when He saved us. We don't really fully understand. When we ask Jesus into our heart, may I just put it this way, a whole lot took place. And one thing that He did, one, is through grace, He gave you a good hope. It's a good hope. And I said all that to bring you to my last point, which is the main thought I was going to, okay? The description of this hope, our hope, the hours, God's children, if you're saved, you have hope. And that hope is a living hope, a sure and steadfast hope, a gladdening hope, a blessed hope, a good hope. But here's the message. It's number six here, but really it's the application, if you will. Number six, our hope is a person. Our hope is a person. You say, what do you mean? Look at our text, 1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Many times we find ourselves setting our hope in things. Your job, your family, your health. But the Christian's hope is found in one place. And that place is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our hope is a living hope because He's alive. Our hope is a sure and steadfast hope because He is sure and steadfast. Our hope is a gladdening hope because that's who He is. Our hope is a blessed hope because that's who He is. Our hope is good because He is good. The Bible says none is good, no, not one. But the Bible says only God is good. So if He gives you a good hope, He's giving you Himself. Don't you see that? I'm telling you this morning that if you're saved, you have hope because you have Jesus Christ. And because He lives in you, you have everything you need to give you the hope beyond the grave. Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee, the Bible says. 1 Peter 1:21, that your faith and hope might be in God, in God. Hebrews 7:19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. Colossians 1:21, anybody know it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what this message is this morning? I want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Him, I have hope. And because of Him, if you're saved, you have hope. It may look bleak, it may be depressing, it may be sinking you down, you think, but I'm telling you, for a child of God, Jesus Christ lives in your heart. And you know, the Holy Spirit confirms it. You know there's a place called heaven, don't you? You know that your saved loved ones, they are not in the ground right now. You know that they're out of pain and they're out of sorrow and they're out of death and they're out of sin. You know that God exists. You know that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father on high. You know that heaven has a street of transparent gold. You know that you're going to see Moses and Elijah and Elisha and Daniel and Abraham. You know these things are true because God, Jesus Christ, who is that hope, is inside of you and He puts in you. There's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. Hold your seat, son. The best is yet to come. We have hope beyond the veil of tears because Jesus is our hope. Do you know Him? Does He live in you? Because if He does, hope is alive in your heart. This world needs hope. Amen. If you're saved, we have Him. This world is trying to find it in so many things. Oh, if I could just get that. No, we know hope is not something. We know hope is someone. May the Lord help us to tell this world about Him. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. All day today, the Lord is laying on my heart this message. This message of our hope. Hope that what God said is in the future is truly in the future. How many of you have somebody on the other side already with Jesus? Would you raise your hand? You have somebody over there? Boy, look at that. God bless you. If you raise your hand, you can put it down. Aren't you glad for the hope you have? Aren't you glad for the hope that Jesus gives? Aren't you glad that when they died physically, the Lord said, "He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." What a hope we have. The invitation today is simply this: to non-believers, you don't have this hope. To you, death is the end, you think. And I'm telling you that according to the Word of God, it is not. Don't be foolish to leave this world not ready to meet God. If you're here today and do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, this church cannot save you. I cannot save you. You cannot save yourself. Only God can save you. He is the Savior. Will you come to Him? Will you trust Him? Will you receive Him as your Savior? Is there one today say, "Jody, pray for me. If I die just like I am, I do not know that I'm a child of God. I do not know that," or maybe you know you're lost. What I'm asking is, do you have this hope? Are you part of God's children? Is there one say, "Pray for me, Jody. I want this hope. I'm not sure I have it." Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody? God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. God bless you. You can put your hand right back down. Anybody else, you say, "Pray for me. I want this hope. I don't know I have it, but I want it. I want it. I want it." We give an invitation. I want to invite you to come. Some of you are just struggling, no doubt about it. Struggling with the assurance of your salvation. We want to help you with that. How many of you this week have been brokenhearted for the loss that this church has suffered? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about this. I've been brokenhearted about this, yes. You got your hand raised. I'd like you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? Put your hand down. My heart's been broken too. But through the tears, we have hope. You've got hope. Do you understand what I'm preaching? Ask God to help you look beyond and see what He said exists. And let it settle your heart. I'm going to invite you to come. Ask God to help you. To keep your eyes upon Him and the great day that lies ahead. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, and stand to our feet, please. Father, take this thought, I pray. Use it in a mighty way. Thank you for the hope that we have. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. If you'd like to come, just to say thank you for hope or ask God for hope, whatever it is, as He sings, you come now. Would you do it?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness. light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell.
Sing it.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus,
look full in
His
wonderful
face,
and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. They're playing through. You can look this way. We're just about through. It's a very appropriate song, Brother Gary. I appreciate that, because really that's the message. The message is we have hope, and our hope is Jesus. So turn your eyes upon Him. Even when your heart is breaking, He can help you. He can help you. So let's sing this first verse again, Brother Gary. If nobody else comes, we'll be through. And think about it as you sing it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's sing it together.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
As they're playing through, let me remind you, if you're in business in any way, shape, or form, 5:30 meeting tonight. And tonight after the church service, we'll just have a brief meeting with all of those who are interested in helping with the nursing home and the shut-in ministry. We are ready to launch these ministries, and I'm excited about that. We're just going to call a brief meeting tonight after church just to see who all is interested and to introduce the leaders. They'll have a meeting in the future to launch the thing, but you come prepared to be able to stay for that as well, okay? Amen. Brother Nick Lingerfelt, serve, if you'll pray for us, please.